One caravan's on the mountains, one caravan's from the sea, one caravan's made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One caravan's from the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one caravan. One caravan heals the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight around the world, WWRB. We're glad to have you in here. Got a great program for you tonight. Curse time for the earth and Canaan. Now, we know that the basic laws of restitution, from where we're going to get our text tonight, are found in Exodus 22. If we ever hope to understand the manner in which our Creator deals with the house of Israel, His family, His chosen ones. Now, He made the whole world, made man to inhabit it, but He gave a people that occupied the land of Canaan with a promise and a covenant, the house of Shem. We're going to talk about what Yahweh reckons in sin in terms of debt. Somebody owes the Creator a debt. Now, it's made manifest in the New Testament where He talked about the debtor who owed 10,000 talents in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 through 35. The moral of the story in the final verse of that chapter tells us that the Messiah, Yahweh in a flesh body, made visible, the invisible made visible, that He was talking about forgiving sin, not merely debts of money, as most people would carnally believe. For in Matthew 18:35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother the trespass. The sin debt connection is what we're going to deal with tonight. And it's made abundantly clear by reading the prayer of the Messiah that he taught his disciples in Matthew 6 when he says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Who's our debtors? "For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not their trespass, neither will your Father forgive yours." Now, let's look at Luke 11, when he says again, "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted," which was sin, "to us." We're indebted to the Father for a sin debt, redeemed by the Father. He sent us temporary fixes, if you would understand. The law was given and added because of transgressions. The Bible said, "Whosoever breaks the law commits sin, for sin is the transgression of the law." Now, his law in Exodus 22 makes it clear that true justice is not done until full restitution has been paid to all the victims of the injustice. In other words, if a man damages someone else's property, he must pay restitution. He must repair or replace, and who's worthy of paying restitution for sin? The heaven was searched, beneath the earth was searched, and on the earth was searched. No one found worthy. And behold, the Bible says at last, after there was much weeping, heaven was searched, beneath the earth was searched, and on the earth was searched, no one worthy to pay a sin debt. Now get this. Yahweh himself, it's written in the volume of the book, "Behold, a body thou hast prepared me." The book of Hebrews explains the restitution made by the only one worthy, Yahweh himself, in a flesh body, made flesh, called himself the Son, and came here and died for sin. Now, the restitution must always fit the crime. And a judge has no right to make the restitution less or more than the law specifies. He has to go by the guidelines. "He that sinneth shall die." So once appointed unto a man for death. When Adam fell through transgression, through the weakness of the woman, Adam was not deceived and was not in the transgression. That's going to surprise a lot of people. But for man, Adam stood in as restitution for his wife. He had to die along with everyone that came into the world. Death was appointed. The restitution for man's property that he had to restore, a man's life. Remember, Adam was made to live eternally. Now, if a man should steal another man's property, Satan stole. Is that what he's called? He's called a killer, a stealer, and a destroyer. Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being the weaker vessel, was in the transgression. And so then, in Exodus 22 and 1, the thief must give his victim back his life through the offering of the life eternal of the man called the Son, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. The Father became a man. God with us, Yahweh with us in the flesh, made visible as a restitution debt eliminator. I like that. Debt elimination through faith. By faith, are you saved? That not of yourself. It's the law of redemption that there must be restitution paid for the person that has been damaged, or if you would look at the Creator, the creature who became a creature, when they killed him, the thief must pay fourfold or fivefold restitution according to Exodus 22:1. Now, there has to be restitution. Adam had a sin debt. Yahweh gladly paid it and said, if you will believe on me, as the Scriptures have said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. If you believe on me, as the Scriptures have said. Exodus 22:1 was the law of justice, of restitution, or to pay the sin debt that no one, after the search was made, there was no one worthy. Now, a second major principle that I'd like to point out on the law of redemption tells us what to do if a thief does not have the means to repay his victim. Exodus 22:3 says, he shall be sold for his theft. In other words, he is to be redeemed and sold to whoever is willing to pay the most for his labor. Whoever buys the thief is the redeemer. He is purchasing the theft debt note. Think about that. In return for the debtor's labor, the redeemer must pay the victim whatever the thief owes him. Thus, the sinner is no longer held liable for his sin, for all liability is shifted to the Redeemer. See, he himself bore our sins. The Messiah, in a flesh body, Yahweh, literally become a man. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. God, the eternal Spirit. Hope you can understand this oneness principle that I'm teaching to you tonight. The Redeemer, who is worthy to redeem you from the theft, or the liar, or the thief, or the breaking of Yahweh's law. So the Messiah himself called a redeemer, the kinsman redeemer. He has to be a kinsman according to the law. You cannot redeem anything under the law except you be kin. So Christ, the word Christ is a Hindu word, Krishna. Christ means redeemed, the Messiah. What it really means is the Messiah. So the Messiah, called the Redeemer, redeemed those obligated with a debt, and then those became obligated to serve him. He tried the law. All of them started using the law as an excuse to justify their own righteousness and forgive everyone else that didn't seem right through a Pharisaical spirit. I'm holier than you. I know this and I know that. And so, those who believe that they are free to go their own way in total liberty have no understanding of the law of redemption. The Bible knows no redemption without obligation to serve the Creator. We already know that to serve Him is to love Him, the first commandment. Mark 12:29. Hear, O Israel, the first commandment is to love him with all of your heart. Now we're talking about the Redeemer, the one that paid the total price to redeem you from under the law, under the curse. He himself became a curse for us, and the divine justice now forms the backdrop that you could study how Yahweh is dealing with man and nations until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Remember, he said in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, go not to the Gentiles. Who did he go to? Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Gentiles are heathen. Gentiles do not have the law given to them, although they pretend under the denominational system that claims they know the Creator, only they know the creature. They make him a creature. They make him a bearded old man standing up on the throne with his son and the carnal understanding they've got, with a stick, beating the sinners up, and justifying those who accept Christ. How could that be? When the Bible says itself that the Redeemer put forth his own sheep. And that when he put forth his sheep, he called the sheep by name. He knows them by name. His sheep know him, and they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow. If you are predestinated, if you're called with a holy calling, from the very time that Yahweh hearkened unto man to pay the sin debt, Yahweh give us the ability to call upon him, and whosoever would call on his name. How can you call on his name without knowing him? How can you know him without serving him?
Know him in terms of death because of our sins. He holds our sins as one would hold debt against you. If you, like, owe the IRS, they come after you. Of course, there's no law that you owe the IRS, but we make sure that we pay it because we fear. We don't fear our Creator when we break His laws. Now, the New Testament as well covers the story of the debtor who owed 10,000 talents in Matthew 18:21. That's where it's listed. And the moral of the story in the final verse of the chapter tells us that the Messiah was talking about forgiving sin, not merely debt. As he says in Matthew 18, verse 35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do so unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one of his brother their trespass. Now that's a brother. That's not a stranger. That's a brother. That's a family. We're talking about family here tonight. And this family owes our Heavenly Father a lot of debt. We've incurred a lot of debt. And the law of restitution, we're going to cover Exodus 22 tonight to show you that the law of restitution found in Exodus 22 has to, everything that we owe him has to be paid. He's not going to forgive us. That's why we are in debt. Because in our hearts, we don't forgive our brothers' trespasses. We hold resentment. We've got things against our brother and things of this nature, and it shouldn't be. So, the sin-debt connection, think about that. I want you to remember this tonight. Sin-debt connection. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not their trespasses or their debt, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Now, here we are. Every one of us is indebted to Yahweh. Now, in Exodus 22, Exodus 22 makes it clear that this justice is not done until full restitution has been paid to all the victims of the injustice. In other words, if a man damages someone's property, you got to pay restitution. And our law is supposed to be our law, biblical law. And these things are written into our law, our constitution, and our frame of judicial law is supposed to come from the biblical book. That's why you're a free man. That's why that you're born free, and then the only one that you owe is your Creator. Now, listen to this. If you don't replace it, you owe the victim the value of that property. If a man steals another man's property, he must restore that which he stole, plus another of equal value. If a thief steals, for example, a horse, and gets caught, he must return the horse or the equal value to the rightful owner. Then the thief must give his victim another horse equivalent to it for monetary compensation that satisfies both parties. That would have to be worked out with you. Give your brother and let your brother forgive you. If the stolen horse is injured, or if the stolen animal is killed, the thief must pay fourfold or fivefold restitution according to Exodus 22 and 1. Now, our Heavenly Father, talking about our sin debt, and to pay the restitution of, we are under the sins of our fathers' sins. They didn't get forgiven. They went out and became resentful. They became distant, separated, and the law of restitution was charged to them anyway, although they didn't make restitution. They didn't love Yahweh. They didn't keep His commandments. And to that, we owe. That's why we're in under sin. That's why we owe a debt. That's why until the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled. We're not Gentiles. A lot of people believe that there's two classes of people in the world, the Jew and the Gentile. Far from the truth. Far from the truth. The Gentiles are the heathen. Israel, or Israelites, those who claim they've been saved, are those dumb, lost, debt-incurred sheep who owe restitution and are out here trying to avoid payment. It's like our Heavenly Father is trying to redeem us and pay the debt and get us to sign off, and yet a lot of us don't accept Him until we all come in knowledge. Every just weight, ever unjust weight, all these weights have to be set aside or restituted through the Redeemer. We've got to pay the cost or the debt that's incurred by the fathers. Now, of course, we like our fathers. We've got to pay the victim, and that would be our Creator, who has the liability placed on him. He bore our sins. Well, that means that we owe him. Now, he's called a redeemer, and those who claim to be redeemed by him are obligated to serve him. You see what I'm talking about? Serving him through debt. We owe a debt. Now, the great marvel of this mystery is the debt is demanded under the law. It has to be restituted fully according to Exodus 22. Now, to have total liberty, we must be forgiven for the debt. That's the law. No man can keep the law in perfection. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, show me where I'm breaking the law. Well, do you let the land rest ever 7 years? Do you release the debt ever 50 years, 49 years? Do you release? You say, well, no, we don't do that anymore. That's what's wrong. I gave you the law and none of you kept it. Now, I don't mean that you can't keep it, or you shouldn't try to keep it is a better word. Or, better yet, you should go to the one that is in charge of the debt and love him. That young man says, well, I've kept the commandments because Christ told him, he said, you know what it means to get eternal life. That's what he wanted. He said, well, you know the law. You know the commandments. He said, I kept them from my youth up. Well, he liked one thing, yes. What was it that he liked? Making restitution for our father's sin. Remember when Job prayed the prayer? He prayed not only for himself, he made restitution for himself, then he made restitution for his children and for his wife and those of his family that could have sinned and him not know it. Now, there is such times as we're going to call in our lesson tonight, cursed time. Now, the earth itself is cursed. Now, you got to have a removal of this cursed time with redemption and restitution. Now, we know, as we read in the Bible, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Every time that we go out and we till the ground that's cursed, we incur debt that has to be a restitution made. So cursed time, until we come into perfection, in the sweat of thy face, thou shalt eat bread till thou return to the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. In other words, Adam and the sin that was incurred in his sin was because you've hearkened to your wife. It's a debt to the law. Because all sin is reckoned as a debt. Because there was no way that Adam could pay the debt he owed. See that? He was sold into bondage as a slave to the earth, according to Exodus 22, verse 3. And all of Adam's kind, not the world, but Adam's kind, all the world's already guilty. But Adam's sin and his carnal desires brought him victim to the slave master in the physical and the carnal realm. Man was therefore ruled by his carnal desires until the day that he dies. Furthermore, throughout our life, Adam kind and his entire household, that would be you, if you're Adam's kind, had to work by the sweat of their brows to serve the earth by ridding it of thorns, thistles. Now, every time you mow, every time you clean out the briars, every time that you till the land, you're in a process of sanctifying it to receive the seed to rid the thorns and the thistles, which is part of the curse, part of the cursed earth. Now, there's a sin debt incurred, and the Redeemer, the kinsman Redeemer, if you will notice, that God cursed the ground for Adam's sake. Now, what does that mean? Well, God made the earth liable for Adam's sin. And that can only be done by the law of redemption. Yahweh sold Adam to the earth. And that means that Adam and his children were required to labor for the earth by the sweat of the brow, and the earth was required to pay the debt for Adam's sin. The debt owed was spiritual perfection and righteousness, without which no man shall see him. So there had to be someone to pay the debt. Now, Adam couldn't do it. That's one of the reasons why, legally, that the Messiah had to be born in the earth, and that's why he was called the second Adam. The earth finally produced the perfect man to pay the debt of sin, or the sin-cursed debt. Now, when this occurs, at that point, when Yahweh reckons the debt to be fully paid, then cometh the end, the Bible says. When Yahweh, Yeshua, our Redeemer, Yahweh in the flesh, when he comes and pays that cursed sin debt for you. Now, we know that the sentence of the law was read in Genesis 3:17, but that sentence was not actually carried out for many hundreds of years, because Yahweh's mercy and grace kept us under mercy and grace. Now, the law offered none, and that's why we die. There was no mercy and there was no grace. He that broke the law died without mercy. You see that? So the sin of the curse has to be paid. Now, when the dead Redeemer, when he came, and when they nailed him to the tree, that's why he said it's finished. That's why he said the debt's been paid. Now, most of the time, we tried to weasel our way out of the cursed sin, because they mistake Yahweh's patience and mercy for a free license to sin. When judgment does not come all at once, they think that God does not care what they do. That's why we have so many perverted people today. Under the curse, it's still there, because they will not come under the redemptive plan of debt restitution. That's why we have to accept him and his will That's why that we have to come under his plan. What is his plan? Well, I have made it quite clear here on radio for you that unless a man strives lawfully, you're not going to enter the kingdom. You've got to accept that blood. And the only way that you can get one drop of his blood is to get that blood through the name that that blood was shed in. Now, that brings it down to one single, solitary name. The Bible uses it in an expression like this. There is none other name under heaven whereby that you can confess that will remove the curse time for rebellion and disobedience. In other words, that's what repentance is all about. You want a debt. You've got a debt. And to accept his perfection, you have to have this example that he did for you. That's why you've got to accept him. That's why that you've got to repent. That's why you've got to come under his obedience to the law, which says, he that breaks the law shall die without mercy. Now, how do you get around, or how do you get redemptive freedom of debt? How do you sanctify yourself? And how do you come out of debt to have it freely forgiven? Now, just because the debt is forgiven, and you use that as an excuse, that you can go out and sin more, that good may come, because that's what Paul was talking about in the book of Romans. He wasn't giving you a license to go out and to keep continuously adding to the debt. He wanted you to follow the law as good as you could, as close as you could. He didn't come to break it anyway. He didn't come to do away with it, according to the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew. What did he want us to do, Pastor Buddy? He wanted us to strive to enter in at the straight gate, to get our mind off of the things that we think we can do to gain entrance through debt payment. There's nothing that you can do under debt payment except love him and keep his commandments. Love him and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. Is that what the Bible says? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us fear Yahweh and keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. And you say, well, his commandments are not grievous. Looks like everybody would be keeping it. Now, there's a nature, a carnal nature in man to seek to break the justification of works without faith. Now that's what Paul said. Show me your works without your faith, and I'll show you my works by my faith. Faith without works is dead. That means to become a doer of keeping the commandments. If it says, love your brother and forgive his trespasses, when you're in debt, you still owe. You're just working off of a promissory note that the Messiah signed, that he would pay the debt. It's not to give you a license to go out and commit more sin. He's looking for a change. Sin means to quit. So quit breaking the law. What is sin? Sin is the transgression of the law. Stop and think about it. Sin being the transgression of the law, and I would have not known sin except the law had been. So everybody becomes guilty under the sin debt, and you've got to have a forgiver or a debt remover, a redeemer, and the earth has to come out from under that curse before you are worthy to be cleansed. Now let's go back to the scripture. We've talked about this several times. How must I be saved? That's what the rich young ruler wanted to know. Well, we find that in the book of Matthew, that John the forerunner, now forerunner is someone that's coming to prepare the way before me. According to Isaiah chapter 40, it talks about the forerunner, Elijah. John the Baptist was Elijah, manifested in a flesh body. Now, he was not that Elijah that walked back there, but he was the spirit of Elijah in another body. This time it was John the Baptist. Christ made it quite clear in the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew when they said, well, we thought that Elijah had to come first. And the Messiah said, well, he's done come, and you didn't know him. Then they understood that he spoke to them about John the Baptist. John come preaching water baptism for the remission of sin. Now, let me repeat that. In the book of St. John, chapter 3, and verse 5, Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, Yahweh in the flesh body, he told the people that they could not enter into heaven without the water and the Spirit. Now, what does the water mean? Well, the water has meaning that you're buried with him in your sins. He's there to pay the debt. He promised to meet you in water baptism. So, therefore, water baptism is to remove a debt that you could remove. The earth will hold that cursed debt, never to be repaid, until you are buried with him in baptism. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, we know that that Christ was baptized of John. That's true. John said, well, wait a minute here. I have need to be baptized of you. Why do you want me to baptize you? And Christ, in the fulfillment, the settlement of the debt, referring to the debt, this is why John came preaching water baptism for the remission or the debt payment. Not by himself, but by him that should come after him, that is on the Messiah, Yahweh in a flesh body. Now, when he comes to pay that debt had been incurred by Adam through his transgression, and Yahweh promised to clear that debt through water baptism. Now, water baptism has a meaning of cleansing. Under the law, it was recorded that under the furniture articles in the temple, that the labor which was to wash, that's why the Pharisees thought the more that they wash, the cleaner they become. But they missed the whole point. They didn't know that there was something to remove sin from the inward, because water baptism is not for the putting of the way of the filth of the flesh, which is what the Pharisees had determined it was for. See, they missed it entirely. Now, when they come down in the 7th chapter of the book of Mark, or Luke, they came and rejected against themselves the counsel of Yahweh for the sin debt. They the salt. Well, since we've done wash four times a day and fasted twice a day or twice a week, and we paid our tithes, and they thought by their good works that that would eliminate the sin debt. They didn't understand the reason of John's baptism. Neither do people today who accept John's baptism. Well, I was baptized in this church and that church and this other church and that other church. Well, there has to be a name that you've got to accept. Now, here is your mission to learn. There's only one name given under heaven whereby that a man can eliminate the cursed sin debt that is that you owe the Father, and the only thing that will guarantee you redemption from the curse is repentance and water baptism in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, they went forth and preached the name. Clearly, they did not preach a Greek, Latin, English name, Jesus, that we've been given by the lying craftiness of the translators that lay in wait to deceive us and tell us that our sins, same doctrine of the Pharisees. He said, beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees. You know what it was? By having the foot laver, when they went into the temple, they washed. When they went in, they made sure that they got a washing. They washed their hands and cleaned up so that they could handle the Word of God outwardly, but they handled it deceitfully, not knowing the power of the release of the remitter of sins, which was under the rule of water baptism, not for putting away the filth of the flesh of the outward, but of an answer of a good conscience toward Yahweh. That's the whole crux. That's why that Christ came behind John with another water baptism. Now this is very, very confusing to people in the Christian church. They don't know, or they haven't been told, the reason that John's baptism could not remove the debt. John simply failed to use the name. He wasn't authorized to use the name. There comes one after me, John said. John admitted. John carefully said, there cometh one after me, whose shoe latcheth, I'm not worthy to stoop and unloose. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, what was that? Well, the Pentecostals say it's speaking in an unknown tongue. That's not true. Truth, when you speak truth, and I know when you speak truth, the world will not hear you. The truth that you speak is the Holy Ghost. If you've got it in you, you can stand the heat. Otherwise, you're going to give way. The carnal mind is going to take you away from the Spirit. To be spiritual-minded is life and peace. Now, when it says life, that means that you've eliminated a sin debt. That's why that the Holy Spirit is to eliminate or to burn out or to forgive, or to pay the sin debt under the law of the curse that was against every man that entered the world and had to be cleansed and redeemed and accepted in the name of Yahweh. Now, to examine that, you have to do your own homework to prove the name of Yahweh. There's a lot of other substitutes. There's a lot of other people promising you liberty when they themselves are servants of the corruption of their own ignorance. and fear and superstition. Most of the time, it's the ignorance and the traditions of the world. A church that would give us water baptism according to Acts or according to Matthew 28:19, go into all the world and teach all nations. Now that nation is the 12 tribes of the house of Israel, scattered among the heathen, with a sin debt. Now the heathen don't have a sin debt. The law is not to them. It's not for them. Now if they keep it by nature, well and good. If the Gentiles, who by nature have no law, but yet keep the law, that's good. Because it'd be better to live next to a guy that won't break in your house, won't steal from you, won't kill, won't destroy, because he fears Yahweh of keeping his, by nature, his commandments. There's a lot of good people that don't go to church that do that. But their goodness and the things that they do, the deeds of the flesh, that don't save them. Salvation is only to the house of Israel, not to the Jew, as is recorded in the New Testament. That's a misnomer, the Judeans. Because salvation is to the house of Israel, the 12 tribes incorporated, only to the family of Yahweh. That's why that the family has the sin debt. And only the family can remove the sin debt through obedience by taking on the name that covers the sin debt. I tell people the best way to determine his name is to breathe. If you, by nature, just breathe, when you bring in air, when you inhale and exhale, you can hear your lungs sucking in the air. The Bible said his name went throughout the whole earth. The earth represents the human temple of man. That's got the sin debt on it. He breathes in sin. But when he takes the name, that's why we bless the food. That's why everything that we do it all in the name of Yahweh. To exalt his name shall be declared throughout the whole earth. And so when you breathe, listen to your name. I tell people, you don't. They say, well, how do you pronounce it? I said, breathe. You can hear yourself pronounce it. It's very easy. When you suck in air, that's life going into you. But when your mind, your not your carnal mind, but your spiritual mind, when it knows why that it's breathing in the air, by confessing his name through water baptism. I said the other night in my message about the two-way mirror, only Yahweh can see the mirror of your life. Only Yahweh knows if you've obeyed that form of doctrine that was delivered to you. If you've been obedient. That's why that you cannot shuck and jive the Creator on the day of judgment. Your works goes before you. He already knows your record before you get there. Now, if your record follows after you, that means that you are accepted. The record that goes before you means judgment must begin at that house which is sucking in the air, breathing and confessing his name with the very act of breathing. What am I saying? How do Christians say hallelujah? Why do they say that? What's that name, Yah? Why is it embedded into their subconscious to say that automatically? And yet other people come up with other names. They give you a name that you live by, but you're dead. Christ was talking about, I know that you say you live by that name, but you're dead. You've got to have that name perfected in your very being to remove the sin debt. With the Redeemer that died in the Father's name. John 5:43. I am. A causative verb to be. Ayah, Eliezer, Ayah. Very simple that the Hebrew spoke his name with its description. It's very strange that his name utters through your breath. He's closer, the Bible says, than the breath you breathe. By breathing in his name to accept it in water baptism for the remission. That's what water baptism is for. Now, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. To be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is a deceptive understanding of the Bible. It's not. Anyone that baptized Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and don't realize what it means to be baptized in the name of Yahweh, the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He didn't tell them to use Father, Son, Holy Ghost titles in reference to water baptism. He told them to use the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Entirely different. You see the difference to unload the sin debt? If you owe a debt you can't pay, and Yahweh sets up a redemptive plan for you, everyone that's baptized in his name, freely acknowledging publicly his name, then according to the book of Revelation 22, verse 4, again, we find that there are the 12 gates to the city, and all of those that made it in had the Father's name in their forehead. You see what I'm talking about? Jesus is not his name. I know I lose a lot of people. I know that hurts a lot of people. I know that it makes you angry. But you can just snort and kick against the pricks all you want to. Until you come off your high horse and do your homework and study and see for sure that the name Jesus in the King James Bible ain't even 500 years old. It's incorrectly expressed. Anyone that tries to use a substitute other than the name that was put in there, and it's put in there 7,000 times in the Hebrew language. They removed the tetragrammaton, which is the four holy vowels, not verbs, or a verb. Josephus and other recorded that it was the high priest went in once a year on atonement with a headband that bared the Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, expressed as Yahweh. Yah-Wah. An expression of truth in your own body, every man, you get a stethoscope, it's very easy. You can actually hear. I can hear myself speak his name when I breathe. And in this demonstration, I don't know where you can pick it up on the radio tonight, but you ought to be able to hear me when I inhale and when I exhale. Yah wah. Yah wah. Very easy. Very easy to determine his true name. You don't have to guess about it. You don't have to wonder about it. The Bible said, make your election and calling sure. If you can't read the Bible and be sure about nothing, you're wasting your time. It was written in vain. But the Bible was written by holy men, fake as they were moved on by the Holy Spirit. But the sinful men entered in and didn't spare the flock when the Pharisees interpreted the word like they wanted it. And Christ said again, beware of the Pharisees. Beware of those who say that they can wash their sins out by going to church and being a good one and having that carnal mind express itself as being good. Oh, they have good works. That's what they're going to say. It's not a strange thing when they say, oh, we've got good works. Good works is good. No one can condemn good works. Not even Christ. When a young ruler said, I've done all this from my youth up, he said, well, you lack one thing yet. That was that sin that he was talking about that needed to be excused through the justification of the teaching of the remission of sin in the name of Yahweh. None other name given under heaven whereby you can be saved. You've got to have this name. This name is above every name. And wouldn't it be nice if you could lay down on your pillow with your breath exclaiming in vivid detail what his name was? That's why you've got no excuse. If you'll be fair and honest, step up to the plate, get you a stethoscope, put it over your ears, and the Bible says let it sink down into your ears. Don't try to deceive yourself by preaching another name. Bible said in the last day they would come preaching many names. And some of these people they'll dream up some of the ungodliest names that you can ever think about. Half truth, two-thirds truth. You got to have the whole truth. The truth will exclaim to you tonight for the death sin, or for the sin death, to remove it is in water baptism through the name expressed in your breath. Closer than the breath you breathe. Oh, it's marvelous. It's joy unspeakable. It's full of glory. It's time, high time, that you raised out of sin. All you've got to do is to change, to repent. Now, you're going to have to do that over the opposition of a carnal Pharisee doctrine. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Jesus' name. You got to overcome that. There's a way that seems right. Jesus seems right because the translators put it in there. But it never was Jesus. There was no J in 1611. It's plain. You don't say, Jesus. When you breathe, do you say Jesus? No. Is there any other language that you know of or name spoken when you breathe it into your very being and exhale it? Do you know of another name that can express itself like I'm demonstrating to you tonight? Am I proving to you? Are you going to stand in judgment and breathe your way into hell? Your own breath is going to speak against you. It's going to witness against you that you still owe the sin debt. It never was forgiven. You climbed up some other way, you used some other name, and you had some other excuse to call upon. Therefore, your sins remain, the Bible says. A lot of people who have been deceived thinking that they've removed the sin debt when in truth they haven't removed it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's for sure that you cannot, you will not go to heaven in your sin. That is for certain. No man can enter heaven except first he came down out of heaven. Now, Yahweh assigns you a name from a family. And everyone, according to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, everyone is in the name of the Heavenly Father. Again, it's recorded in Revelation that all those saints that overcome and entered in had the Father's name exclusively. Try the breath test here again. If you can't breathe, the name that you call on, if it doesn't sound in your breath, discard it. Cast it away. Remove it. They have some truth in it. But it's got to have the sound in it. The sound of His name went throughout the whole earth. That's what the Bible says. Have you got that sound? Have you been persuaded that you're calling on the great, the magnanimous, magnificent name? Are you going to be ashamed of the name you're breathing? Is that mirror going to tell on you when you stand before Him, when you haven't used the name of Yahweh for the remission of sin, to remove the sin debt and pay that to which Yahweh demanded? Only through His name is the forgiveness of the sin debt. Yahweh is coming. Yahweh, He's wonderful. This is the truth. I'm not loved. I'm not appreciated. I know my message falls on deaf ears when I lose those who, through tradition, they won't study. They won't take my challenge. They won't call me up. We could discuss this, and I could give you some historical facts, just historical facts alone. I could give you some natural and nature facts. I could show you where His name is written, just like I've been expressing it in the Hebrew language. In the 26th chapter and the 14th verse of the book of Acts, the Creator Himself, Yahweh, He spoke His name to Paul, or Saul, in the Hebrew language. And everybody says, well, He said Jesus. Jesus is not a Hebrew name. It's a Greek Latin. Deception. No wonder He said, thus it behooved Him that sins and remission and of the sin death should be preached in His name. His name. Now, you got to have His name. You got to have it just right. You got to have the sound of it right. And there's no excuse for you not to use this name. What's the scripture say? Yahweh, the same yesterday, today, and forever. People want to go in with a different language. They want to take a combination of Greek, Latin, and English and say, well, His name today is Jesus. That's how we would say it. Far from true. That's not right. You cannot press that piece into the puzzle because it will not sound right. It doesn't fit. It will not remove the sin debt. The only thing that I have ever used on people and person is this name that cannot deny itself. The Bible says so. It says that's what it means, that though you deny Him, He can't deny Himself. He's His own witness in you. The hope of glory. The air you breathe. Everybody has to be required to breathe air. Not everything that breathes air belongs to Him. But it's for sure that everybody that breathes air owes Him for breathing. If He was the subject, everyone to pay for the breath they breathe. Yahweh only chose those who were His from the very beginning. Nobody else is going, folks. It's only them who have made their calling sure, or their acceptance sure, that they have removed the sin debt. Now you listen, Pastor Buddy, and you can write me tonight. Let me give you my address here. Post Office Box 568. That's Post Office Box 568. In Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. Now, we've got another sponsor that is going to sponsor Pastor Buddy on 5890 WWCR on Saturday night at 10 o'clock. That'll be coming up in August. I'll be talking more about that to date. But we will be on WWCR 5890 on your radio dial starting in August. Sometime in August, we'll give you the start date. So look for Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call to be coming to you at a new time and a new date. We're on Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, prime time. Also, on Saturday night, we'll be coming in on 5890 instead of 4840. We'll be on 5890. So look for us on the radio dial on WWCR starting in August, and we will start with a brand new doctrinal series of how to obtain. You may just hear this message again somewhere in our repertoire as we teach the doctrine and not the commandments of men. This is not a traditional, you've never heard this type of message in a traditional church. This is the only time you've ever heard this. And the sound goes out throughout the whole earth. And it's the time for you to raise from sleep and hear the matter and look up and follow him. Now, the telephone number tonight, 423-351-1082. Again, that's 423-351-1082. You can get on our website by simply going to oneyahweh.com, and you can tune in why over 30+ thousand people here lately have tuned in to our website by going to oneyahweh.com, oneyahweh.com. That's all we preach. We don't preach two or three names for you to be confused about. We want to preach one name, and by one name, we're all baptized into one body, according to the Bible. So, take this message tonight, study it, and take it a little bit deeper into the spirit realm, and see if Pastor Buddy hasn't preached you the truth tonight. Well, Yahweh bless you is my prayer, and you just keep the faith, and by all means, don't deny his name. For many, I say to those of whom I'm ashamed, have used tradition substitute names that won't sound right. They preach them, but they don't sound right. I listen to some of these arguments of these guys that's got other names to preach. And I wonder why that they can't give me a demonstration like I can give them by hearing the whole matter. By hearing the truth. By the sound of his name that's gone out into the earth. Well, you got my message. I'll see you Sunday night. WWCR 4840 on your radio dial. Yahweh bless you. And shalom. Thank you.